Diablo Immortal is blocked in some countries because of loot box laws. Which countries? Will be breaking down that information for you today in the rundown here on Reforge Radio. Also today on the rundown, the new Sonic game is getting criticism just from the announcement and the gameplay reveal. What exactly is going on with this brand new Sonic Frontiers title? Many are unhappy with what the game looks like before even touching it. And the new Fable game is already being trimmed down, and there's been qualification statements made by those in charge of the game. Is this normal? Is this concerning? We're going to be discussing and breaking down all the news for you here on Reforge Radio. We came over from Reforge Gaming, had a huge day over there discussing God of War Ragnarok release date, Summer Games Fest, and we showed off Diablo Immortal on an iPad playing with a DualSense PlayStation 5 controller, which is relevant to our opening lead topic. Diablo Immortal actually blocked in some countries because of the loot boxes, and we will be telling you which countries and why. And honestly, this is a big deal because I'm not going to be shy about this game. This game is pay to win. Diablo Immortal is 100% pay to win if you play PvP. And if you want to spend money and do those things, you are able to jump way, way ahead and be way stronger than other players. Now, I do think the free-to-play gameplay loop is extremely satisfying if you literally just play the PvE. So let's just take a look at this article here from Engadget. Okay, Blizzard won't release Diablo Immortal in countries with loot box laws. The company would rather cut off access than change the game's business model. Don't expect to play Diablo Immortal in the Low Countries when it launches this week. GameIndustry.biz and tweakers have learned Blizzard won't release the free-to-play game in Belgium or the Netherlands due to their gambling restrictions, that is, their legislation banning loot boxes. It will also be illegal for people in those countries to download them from other regions, and Blizzard support team warned that it couldn't guarantee that players in affected countries would avoid bans. Belgium and the Netherlands determined that in 2018 that some loot boxes, particularly those you can buy or trade for real money, amounted to gambling. Diablo Immortal tucks access to its best stat-enhancing items, such as some legendary gems, behind legendary crests that are often easier to obtain with real-world currency. While the items you get are frequently good, to the point where some have argued they're unfair, the attributes are random. That could theoretically pressure gamers to pay in hopes of scoring the perfect crest, and might reel in people with addictive personalities. Blizzard halted loot box sales for other games in Belgium after the country cracked down on the practice. The company also isn't unique. EA, Konami, Nintendo, and Epic's Psyonix have all pulled games to avoid violating anti-loot box laws. Even so, it's still notable that Blizzard would rather withdraw Diablo Immortal from those countries than change gameplay mechanics. So yes, this is, I think, a pretty big story that they're like, look, we're not even going to put it over there. We don't even want to deal with the loot box laws. It's pretty significant, I think, when you imagine the amount of success this game's going to have on mobile to basically block entire countries instead of just removing the loot boxes. Now, there's obviously the possibility if they just remove the loot boxes, people want to get around the loot boxes or play in regions where the loot boxes are not an issue. There could have been VPNs and other ways, you know, for people to just say, listen, I don't want to play this game with pay to win. I'm going to try and get into the region where that isn't actually happening. I'm curious what you guys think about this. I'm not going to defend the game's pay-to-win aspects. I'm not. Now, I actually have argued in other videos and in other places that calling games like Warframe and Lost Ark pay-to-win is just confusing. Pay-to-progress is very different than pay-to-win, and we should reserve pay-to-win for instances like this, where they have an actual micro-store that centers around people paying for chances at items. Those items give them significant advantages over other players in the game. They give them significant advantages over earning those items in a natural way in the game, which is seemingly impossible for some of the sets that we looked at in the video that we responded to. We did a reaction video to Asmongold's video. You know, Diablo Immortal is 200% pay to win. We did that on Monday over on Reforge Gaming, and I definitely agreed with him. I agreed with the video that he was watching, that you really can't look at this any other way as paying for advantages. And it's not surprising, okay? It's not surprising that they are deciding, look, this is too interwoven into the game. We can't just, you know, abide by those laws and yank those things out. We want those in there. It seems part and parcel to the store. Now, I did play today, and I will say, they didn't shove it in your face, but they do quite regularly make sure the store is on your radar. They give you free items right out of the gate. At certain points in the game when you're leveling up, it takes you to the Battle Pass. Now, $5 for the Enhanced Battle Pass seemed like a great deal to me. The cosmetics were pretty dope, and it seemed like a great way to enhance my gameplay for a whopping $5. So I actually did that. I spent the $5 on the Enhanced Battle Pass because to me, that's not paying for an advantage. It was paying for some cooler looking items that will then complement my playthrough as I play through the game, as opposed to just, you know, earning the free track. So I'm curious what you guys think about this. Does this basically make you avoid a game entirely when you see these types of things? We are in a new stream, so make sure you switch to live chat. Make sure you smash the like button. I brought you guys over from Reforged Gaming, where we discussed and played those other things today. Those countries are pretty small in the grand scheme, says Eugene. And see, that's why, to me, I would just be curious. Is it just easier for them to do that? Be like, we'll just skip over those countries, as opposed to putting a non-loot box version in those countries, because you could still make money off the battle pass. You could still make money off the cosmetics. There's still elements of the game that they could make significant amounts of money off of. It's just that those countries and the player base size in those countries just might not be big enough to justify it, and to say, listen, we think this is too big of a task, you know, to go in and take this out, which could be philosophical. It could just be pesky. If you look at the store, it is extremely interwoven into the store. It's not something that you can really deny, even if you enjoy the game or you're playing the game or you're having a good time with it. I don't think there's any other way of looking at it. It's like, this is a pretty big aspect and part of the game. Now, we have another story that this is related to that we'll get to in a minute about how many countries are actually now labeling loot boxes exploitative, and that may cause a bit of a ruckus for Diablo Immortal. I stopped playing D3 because of the auction house. I went back after they got rid of it. If people pay the $5, they will most probably pay the $10 and then the $50, and now you're a whale. I don't necessarily see the battle pass as a gateway to becoming a whale. I think for some people it might be a whale gateway. I could see that. I could definitely see them saying, "Hey, you know what? I'm just going to keep spending. I've already spent some. I've got some sunk cost. You know, I've got some sunk cost in here. I want to keep spending." That's generally how they get you, is that once you've spent a certain amount of money and a certain amount of time in the game, you end up justifying spending more. It's obviously easier to spend once you have spent. You've kind of broken the seal, as it were, and that's gonna be an easier way to make that money from those people that are at the moment maybe not spending a whole lot of money, but the gateway to getting you to spend more is to get you to spend a little. You start there, and then you obviously work your way up. Yes, the imagery on the thumbnail is we are going to be covering the Fable story as well. There is a story about Fable having to kind of trim down and dial things back. So now this next story, I'm not going to necessarily put a timestamp for this one. I'm going to include this in this section about Diablo Immortal being blocked in certain countries. I do have another story about loot boxes. My thoughts on micros is that you aren't forced to buy anything, although it is thrown in your face. Just be responsible with your money, and then when you have extra money, maybe if you want, buy some micros. Mobile gaming spending culture is that once you are in, you are in. Right, and that's how they get you, is it's like, well, I've already spent $5 or $10. If I spend another $20, that could be an easy justification. Because the more you play a game like this, the more you're gonna feel that sense of man, I'd love to spend a little bit more. I'd love to get a little bit more. And I think that's where they catch you, which is related to the next aspect of this story. TheGamer.com reporting on this one, 18 European countries have labeled loot boxes exploitative. This is just 8 hours ago. A report has detailed that leading issues with loot boxes in games and how they can be dealt with without banning them entirely. Loot boxes in video games have been an issue for a number of years now as various governing bodies and lawmakers around the world attempt to determine how exactly they should be handled, whether they are technically a form of gambling, and if they should be more closely monitored or perhaps banned entirely. While there is still no blanket solution when it comes to better handling loot boxes, a new report labeling them exploitative and suggesting how they should be approached moving forward has been backed by 20 consumer groups in 18 different countries. The report has been put together by the Norwegian Consumer Council, reports GameIndustry.biz, and it hones in on games like FIFA 22, a title that has continually been at the forefront when it comes to loot box discussions and Raid Shadow Legends. It uses them as case studies showing how loot boxes, quote, exploit cognitive or behavioral biases to incentivize spending. That comment in particular is part of one of the leading points in the report, claiming that loot boxes incorporate, quote, a deceptive design with the intention of enticing people to spend more money, advertising the possible rewards but not being entirely transparent regarding the odds and the algorithms used to determine what might be inside. Round out that explanation as to why loot boxes are designed to deceive. Now, this again could affect Diablo Immortal. That's why I'm including it in this opening story. The report doesn't simply highlight all the problems and call for an immediate ban on loot boxes in all games. It lists areas in which the practice can be improved, starting with the loss of the deceptive design. Other points include denoting in-game purchases in real-world currency. That way people can see and better keep track of what they're actually spending. It also suggests removing them from games aimed at minors. Should the report be followed and the suggested remedies don't have the desired effect, then it is proposed that paid loot boxes be removed from any and all games. Publishers or games that currently use loot boxes and make a lot of money on them will be combing through the report very carefully. EA higher ups may already be working on an argument against the imminent claim FIFA, soon to be EA Sports FC, is targeted at minors. The studio has been at the center of the loot box saga from the very beginning and has already tried to shoo the wolves from its door by claiming its game's loot boxes aren't loot boxes at all, they're surprise mechanics. That's a great, famous, and funny quote. Brutal says, do you think a game like Diablo Immortal will have an effect on Blizzard's development if the, quote, return of investment is better for Immortal than WoW long term with AAA development? Oh, will AAA development suffer? I don't know if AAA development will suffer in the short term. Long term, you could see companies start to divert more energy, resources, and bandwidth toward mobile games since you put in such a significant smaller amount of investment, resources, and time and get a significantly higher payout. That is certainly a likely outcome, not in the immediate future, but in the long term. It would take a couple of years, I think, for some of those trends to start to turn, because projects take a very, very long time. Like, I don't know if a company's just going to be like, oh my gosh, yeah, let's just get out of AAA, let's just get right in to mobile. But it could happen, you know, over time, because mobile is just such an absolute cash cow. I know people that spend hundreds on free-to-play game loot boxes. Loot boxes should be banned. EA has no leg to stand on. For sure, I've seen people spend thousands on FIFA packs. Yeah, and so if this oversight, this intrigue continues, then you could see a lot of countries say, listen, we don't want anything to do with this crap. We don't want it in our country. We don't want it in our gaming market. We, you know, get it out of here, because it wouldn't surprise me either if, America starts to get in on this and to say, hey, we're not okay with this either. You know, we don't want this in games. We want to protect our kids. You know, with the passing of COPPA, the Child Online Privacy Protection Act, they don't seem that far away from taking things like this under advisement and saying, we're not okay with this. We don't think this is good for games and for gamers, which could dramatically affect games like Diablo Immortal. Because right now, as we already reported, Diablo Immortal is only blocked in two countries, in Belgium and the Netherlands. So Belgium and the Netherlands are the only two places where Diablo Immortal won't be there. Now, it's not blocked and it's not banned. That's a slight misreport. We don't necessarily want to say it and phrase it in that way. They are refusing to launch there because they can't. Well, I mean, I guess they are blocked. I guess they are banned. They're just saying, like, look, we're not going to change our game for your market, and therefore it can't launch in that market. So as it is designed, I think it is kind of fair to say Diablo Immortal is blocked or banned from those regions. You know, Belgium and the Netherlands are like, no, you can't be here. You know, even if you wanted to be, we're not going to let you. All these games have some kind of a loot box. It really takes away from the game. It would surprise me if the U.S. cared about this. No, I think they definitely will. I think they will get involved. It just takes a matter of time. It's also probably only a matter of time before the Purple Platform gets cracked down on for the gambling streaming that they're doing. I can't see readily accessible environments where loot boxes and gambling mechanics are just sort of unmonitored, right? I don't think every single thing should be struck down. I don't think we need to be paternalistic, but I also think there are definitely practices that need to be, you know, more restricted, especially just telling people the odds of what they're going to get when you're buying something that, you know, you're on the promise of the chance of getting something, then I think people should know. I think they should know exactly how long that's going to take to potentially get the item that they want. If they're looking at the percentages, right, that may dissuade people from continuing. It may dissuade somebody from even doing it at all, you know. Drake lost $30 million the other day on a crypto casino. Yeah, you know, these guys streaming the gambling, you know, and they make it look like they're winning. I guarantee you a lot of those streams where they win a ton of money, it's just totally rigged. Now some people say it can't be rigged. They just put in such an insane amount of hours that eventually they're going to hit there. You know, eventually they're going to hit, eventually they're going to win. I don't know about that. I think more and more this type of thing is just really going to get cracked down on, because I don't know. I don't see the global governments of the world just sort of sitting idly by and being like, no, that's fine. Yeah, you got all this stuff that's basically gambling for children and not get involved. I don't think so. I think that there's going to be a point. There's going to be a breaking point where they step in and start to come to agreements and say, you know, This isn't something that we want to have. This isn't something that we want to have on our soil. EU always is 5 to 10 years ahead of electronic stuff. Apple only doing USB-C because of the EU. They get a huge bag. They brag about it and they play with the casino's money. Right. They shell for the casino. That's why I think it's problematic, because they're essentially being paid to gamble. And that's not being properly disclosed, I don't think. Because if you tune in, maybe they say something at the beginning of the stream, but if you tune in or you see a clip and you see it completely out of that context of knowing, like, well, this guy was given $20,000 to gamble with, or $100,000 to gamble with, or whatever. You know, their target audience are adults. They made it clear. Hashtag ad. Some of them use the hashtag ad tag. There, but see, here's where it gets a little complicated for me with the gambling situation and the streaming. If you use hashtag ad or hashtag sponsor, that comes with the understanding that you have been paid a certain amount of money to do it. That's not the same as being given currency to gamble with. Like, I think that needs to be more properly disclosed, because then you're essentially watching some guy play a video game, right? Some of them get 30K an hour or something. That's just absolutely insane. To get that kind of money per hour and to stream on a 13-year-old rated website is just absolutely insane to me. To think that that's a thing. A lot of companies sponsor these gambling streams and vids because of the views, but there's no ad in most of them. You being paid to go to the place and use the gambling, that's not the same as them giving you play money. I think the two are very, very different, and I think one not being stated is incredibly, incredibly unethical. To be given a lump sum of essentially play money to gamble with on these sites, and if that is not disclosed, being honest about the fact that, oh yeah, they wrote a check, you know, I'm being paid to do this stream, right? I'm being paid to stream this gambling. Disclosing that aspect is not the same as saying, hey, I was literally given play money to do this. Crypto casinos are illegal in the US. They won't disclose their odds. You have no idea what the code logic is behind their games. Yeah, I mean, it seems that like loot boxes are just the tip of the iceberg of what's slowly starting to happen with these, you know, with you've got gambling streams, and you've got more and more companies that are likely looking at taking their big established franchise and saying, hey, I you know, we're going to do a mobile version. And if you do a mobile version of something, I it's going to have those micros. It's going to have the loot boxes. Just hearing that makes me feel slimy. Yeah. It's a virtual currency system, isn't it? Basically loot boxes. Oh, the crypto thing? Or are you talking about something else? Most people think the same thing. Gacha is not meant to be a word play on gotcha. It's a foreign word with its own meaning. Yes, gacha. Yeah. Everybody hears gacha and they think it's a gacha game. It gotcha. No, it's just gacha. It's G-A-C-H-A. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, at this point in time for me, Diablo Immortal being blocked in certain countries and 18 different countries, 18 different European countries saying they're concerned about loot boxes being exploitative, and if they can't get them reined in to where they want to see them, they will be banning them. That's not surprising at all. That's not surprising. That more and more countries are going to get involved and say, "Hey, we don't think that this is we don't think this is good, and we don't want it." Colloquially referred to as gachapon. Gachapon. Okay, I'm going to the Sonic the Hedgehog pay website, or I'm sorry, YouTube. IGN first, Sonic Frontiers. Because the next story is about IGN, is about Sonic, and they do have a world premiere of gameplay that we're going to showcase. We usually don't do lots of gameplay or video here, but given the story, I think it makes a lot of sense to take a peek at the actual gameplay. But before we do that, the story is actually pretty interesting about this. It's actually pretty interesting. It's blocked in its current state, dev's fault. Yes, Diablo Immortal was fun, brutal. Yes, never mind how it's monetized. I really enjoyed my time with it. So was very pleased. Guys, yeah, I saw the results of the court case. Obviously, it's a big deal. But we can't. Well, I'm not talking about that right now. So we're not talking about it. I know. I'm glad you guys are excited. It's a win for guys like me everywhere that have gone through that kind of a thing. So this is our second story, but I'm going to hold off unless because the conversation is kind of continuing. But Diablo Immortal was fun. The monetization is undeniably pay to win, and it does have loot boxes. And it is important to say they could have launched Diablo Immortal in Belgium and the Netherlands, and they said, no, we're not going to. We're not going to make changes. We're not going to remove the loot boxes. We are going to avoid basically those countries, which that is a block and a ban. They were like, in the game's current state, you can't come here. And they were like, okay, well, we're not going to change the game, right? So I think it's fair to say that it is blocked or quote unquote banned, because I think that is accurate. But we just want to be careful. It's not like it tried to launch there and then they got kicked out. They were like, no, we understand the rules and we're not going to make any changes to come over there. So I actually think it makes perfectly good sense to just avoid reworking your game if you think that it just isn't worth it. If I don't want to do PvP, will I still have to pay for progress or not? No. From the way I understand it, if you're just playing the questing and the leveling and the PvE, I don't think you will ever feel any pressure to spend money in Diablo Immortal, you know? It's like requiring certain safety features in a car. You decide to just not sell the car in that market. Yes. Yeah. There's a $5 battle pass if you want better gear. I did the $5 battle pass in Diablo Immortal because I thought the cosmetics looked pretty cool. They seemed worth it to me. You know, for $5, it kind of enhances your grind. We were going to grind more tomorrow on PC, as far as I understand it. They'll be cross-platform progression for me because I linked it with my Battle.net. So whenever I go to play it on PC, I should be able to have everything that I earned. So okay, let's take a look at this second story, because this one I don't know if we're going to cover this on gaming, because the gameplay it could be fun to do a gameplay breakdown. That may be something that we do tomorrow before we dive more into Diablo Immortal, unless we lead with Diablo Immortal in my feedback. We'll see. I'll brainstorm with Creature on what exactly we think the best thing to do is tomorrow. We could do another three streams over there. That could be pretty good. I just watched Dreamcast Guy's video on it. He said it sucked. I was enjoying my time. You have to look at it in context. I think the average person that installs Diablo Immortal on their iPhone or their iPad or their mobile device, I'm telling you, I think it's going to be a massive hit. If you're playing it and you're expecting it to flow and feel like Diablo 3, that's not going to happen. We have gifted memberships over here as well. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much, YouTube Lurker. We have gifted memberships over here. I came over and it wasn't there, and apparently it is. Dropping a 20 bomb. You guys are going to need to opt in. This is a new stream, new channel. Wheezy Insane and Butters and Captain Morgan all jumping in. Dr. Red, YouTube Lurker, has been so generous today. King Arthur, Frostpunk, here we go. DSB Prime, bless you, bro. Thank you. Scotty B, Astro Candy, Sony Kent, coming in. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. There's 8 left. Vinny Vaughn, there's 8 left. I didn't think we had it over here. I did not think we had it, because I went and I clicked on the button. Oh, yeah, it's there. Sure enough, it's there. There they all go. There they all go. I think that's the rest of them. 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, maybe? 16? Yeah, Lurker kind of going crazy today, dude. Lurker going a little wild. So about call-ins. Cries in brand account. Oh, no, barrier. Oh, no. Oh, no. Lono gifting subs to an alt to embarrass Madam in Elden Ring. I'm a DM her for lessons. Did I accidentally subscribe? No, Wheezy, you grabbed a gifted membership. Yeah, gifted memberships arrived today. And over here on radio... Full disclosure, that is not me. Eugene is joking. YouTube Lurker is not me. I would not do that. That's dishonest. I would not be in here doing that sort of thing. That is a real person. It's not me. I guess I'm dope and deserve dope stuff now. Yeah. Once we hit 200 members over here, Madam's got to do a segment with me every Monday where she'll read stuff. It's a joke. I know, Eugene. I know, but you know how people are. You know how people are. You put that out in the ether and, you know, it's the internet, brother. Before anyone doesn't realize. Yeah. So, yeah. Take a shot every time you see Poppin' in Sonic. Yeah, that's the next story. That's the next story. So we're gonna move on to the next story. Guys, give me 24 more likes. Let's get 100 quick likes on this video. We're getting better turnouts every day over here on Reforged Radio, and thank you for that. We're building another channel and another show type. It's very different over here than gaming. Different vibe. It's more about rapid fire news. We just spent about a half an hour on Diablo Immortal. It's time to move on to the next story. Sonic Frontiers' first trailer channels Zelda and Horizon franchises. I'm pulling this from The Verge. The game is being criticized. We ordinarily don't run gameplay trailers and videos here. I'll show it to you in a minute. I've not watched it, okay? I've not watched it. I saw the trailer, thought everybody was overreacting, but the gameplay is available, and we'll look at that together. You guys will watch that fresh with me right off the rip. Ahead of Jeff Keighley's not E3, but also sort of kind of E3 Summer Games Fest next week. Somebody's salty about no E3. Sonic Team has released an extremely short teaser for Sonic Frontiers. I know there's a vocal subset of the community that hates when a new vaguely open world looking game gets shown and the gaming press calls it a Breath of the Wild meets X, so I'm not doing that. Instead, I'm going to say it looks like Breath of the Wild and Horizon Zero Dawn had a baby with Sonic. Please don't go Google X has a baby with Sonic. In it, Sonic free runs across a light-drenched, flower-strewn landscape dotted with the futuristic-looking ruins. Even though several games have featured Sonic roaming in a boundaryless world, the aesthetic in Frontiers is so wildly different than the previous 3D Sonic games, it looks more realistic than Sonic Adventures, Sonic 06, and Sonic Unleashed. In the briefest glimpses of gameplay, it appears that the blue blur is slightly less constrained by the forced 3D and 2D perspectives of earlier games. It looks like he gets to run in a truly open world, collecting rings, rail grinding, and taking down monstrous robots reminiscent of the mechanical beasts in the Horizon franchise. Sonic Frontiers and more will be shown off next week during Summer Game Fest. So, let me get the gameplay for you. People are saying that they're very, very disappointed in this game. They're saying they don't like it. They think that it's bad. They're saying that it seems like a completely different game. They're sort of saying, what's the point? So let me give you the gameplay here. This is from IGN. I definitely think we want to take a peek at this. I'm not going to run it with audio. So here is an IGN first presentation about the game. Now, this is the stuff that we've seen already. Here we go. Here's the gameplay. I thought there was actual gameplay in this video. Yes, this is a little bit longer. This was uploaded 3 hours ago. Just making sure that there's actually going to be gameplay in here. Sonic 06 again, right? Mowing yard while I'm listening. Nice, gifted over here also. Yeah, we have gifted over here. Sane says it looked fine to me. You have to fast forward. Okay. Oh, here we go. All right, so we have the scope of the game. Oh golly, there's Poppin' in the video. You're not kidding about the Poppin'. That was massive. Why would you put that in your video and release it and let people see it? So it looks like it has some kind of verticality, almost like a climbing aspect. He drops down. So he's got those. Oh, he can run on that. I kind of like that. Listen, I'm going to be honest with you guys. I'm not a Sonic guy, so I'm not going to have an issue with any of this. This looks fun. Like, do you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel bad for the people that are like, this doesn't really look like a Sonic game. Do you know what I mean? If you guys haven't pressed that like button yet, do me a favor and do that. We only need 14 more. The climbing looks a little... Oh, okay. I was like, he's not having to climb. I was like, that looked a little tedious. There we go. It does look almost as if, like, the climbing is a bit puzzly. Different surfaces and different structures to get up. The scope of the game looks absolutely massive. He's just free climbing this structure. Okay, come on, chat. Come on. That actually is kind of hot. So what is he going to do? Use this to scan the area? His walk is a little goofy. It looks like a crappy Unreal Engine asset flip. It does kind of look like that, Wheezy. Almost like if you replaced Sonic with some random cool character, this could be a completely different game. I think the game looks cool. I think the problem for people is There's nothing. It's like Sonic in name only, right? Is how people are going to feel about it. That's probably the concern that a lot of people have. Because if you swapped him out for like a really cool little, I don't know, a fox or something, or some random animal, it could be a really, really cool little indie title. This is a game I would play. I can understand I can totally understand the feeling that it doesn't look like a Sonic game, but man, oh man, you gotta let franchises evolve sometime, don't you? You know? Breath of the Wild was a giant departure from all Zelda games up to that point, and it's one of the most beloved Zelda titles for many people. Not every. There are some people who are more purist, and they think that Zelda Breath of the Wild is bad. They do not like it. I love Sonic. What system is this going to be on? I don't know. I'm imagining next gen and PC. Hard to say. Rail riding has been a thing in Sonic for 20 years. Straight up Ratchet clone. That's Ratchet rail riding. Yeah, the rail riding's not unique to the Ratchet game, I don't think. That's not a thing. Okay. It did look reminiscent of Ratchet, but I don't think Ratchet was the first game to do it. I mean, Sunset Overdrive did it before Ratchet did it as well. So here it looks like we have kind of a puzzle. Sonic in name only is a very good description. I agree. It looks cool to me as well, but I'm not a Sonic guy. Breath of the Wild was a great conversion. This is just Sonic 06 done again, says Smashville. You guys in chat are weighing in. Guys, feel free to weigh in. People aren't too thrilled about this. They feel like it's a pretty big departure from Sonic. I look at it and say, I want to play it. I don't see anything yet that's turned me off other than the pop-in, but this could be a really early build. I'm assuming that could be an early fix. So he's having to do some kind of a streak-forming mechanic. He does that circle, and then it gets rid of that. Okay, so it looks like there's going to be minor puzzle solving at some level. I didn't know there were Sonic guys. There are people that love the Sonic games. Oh, yeah, yeah. This is on the Switch and every other platform. Oh, this is going to hit Switch. Wow. If this is going to hit Switch, I wonder how well optimized it is for Switch, because it's very, very big. Very big. Now, Paul did say there's some pop-in in the video. I saw some at the beginning. I just saw some on that bridge. That bridge kind of popped in. I bet you guys played Sonic 06, says Chronic Spin Dash. What's that supposed to mean? Is this Sonic mod or Breath of the Wild? I just got back and missed it. This is Sonic Frontiers, a brand new game that we're covering right now. Many people are decrying it as it just doesn't look like a Sonic game. It looks too much like Breath of the Wild. Wheezy's been saying it kind of looks like an asset flip, like a game that was built for something else, and they just shoved Sonic into it. So he said, those people need to check out Sonic Adventure 1 and 2 or even Generations. This isn't 2D Genesis Sonic, but there's been Sonic games with these kind of elements. I thought the climbing was really, really cool. I kind of liked it. Here we have another puzzle, it seems. I'm assuming going to have to start on the diamond to start the puzzle. So he's got to clear that without stepping on the other cubes. Already failed, I would think, unless you can jump. Yep, failed. You suck. Okay. You gotta go up. You have to end there. You dumb dumb. There you go. The guy recording this was like, I'm sorry, man. It was a simple mistake, bro. The world lacks character. It's very generic. Yeah, I will say that's why when Wheezy said it feels like an asset flip, I think that's a pretty good description. It feels like all of the Sonic elements, the jump pads, the rings, and the rails and stuff, they feel very much just sort of dropped into the world. They do. They feel very, very dropped into the world. I don't want to just keep watching it and ripping it apart. I think that's a pretty good showing. It does very much look like just some like generic open world, and there's like they just like spit Sonic stuff on the map, and just that's it. That's your game. Sonic had rail riding in 1995. Rail riding's been in Ratchet for 20 years. Yeah, I'm pretty sure the rail riding has been in Sonic for like a super long time. I don't know. Jolly good show. Thank you, Lufi. Hey guys, don't forget over here on radio, we got gifted members as well. And once we hit 200 members over here, we will unlock the Madam streams, which we may be pretty close to that right now. 127 members right now. That'll be a weekly segment where you as members can submit clips of yourself playing or clips of your favorite games in the Discord, and Madam can watch it. It can be clips of me, it can be clips of you, it can just it can be clips of, you know, anything. And then she'll roast it up. She's not necessarily familiar with lots and lots of games. I'm so glad that hashtag is trending and getting shredded. Love it. But yeah, it's been in both. How do you gift anyway? Nothing shows up for me. If you're on mobile, you got to be on a browser. You got to be on a desktop. You hit the $ and it should be there and it should be available. You think they're going to live service a bit and update it with new DLC? I mean, my take on games like this, Sven, is pretty simple. When they're going to build a big giant world like that, I just assume they're going to be adding to it. Do you know? I don't know. Maybe that's a bad assumption. Maybe I shouldn't be assuming that, you know, but in my mind, I feel like, why would you not just add on to it? Why would you not continue to invest in that massive open world? You know, keep things going. Because I do. I think that the nature of getting capital out of all that work, I just think is a huge, huge aspect of why live service is going to continue. You have to think about the trends that have happened in gaming as of late. The trends that have happened in gaming as of late is these companies build bigger and bigger and bigger games, right? They build bigger and bigger and bigger games. And they build them so large that it ends up feeling like it kind of tips over. It's like, dude, it took us 5 years to build this big, huge, giant, massive world, and then we sell the game, do one or two DLCs, and that's it. Like, why wouldn't we keep using that world? It's like a big stage. It's like a big set. It's like, have you ever seen around the holidays, around Halloween, those big storefronts that get rented out for Halloween's, you know, costumes and stuff? And you go in, and you can tell it's just a prop-up store that's going to be gone in, you know, a month, right? That starts to be kind of what it feels like. It's like building this giant amusement park and then never adding any rides to it. You just leave it that way for forever, and it feels like sort of a bad investment. So from where I sit, there was like this slow curve of game size going up, 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 up. And when they got way up here, it's almost like there's a breaking point. It's like, it took us so long to build that game. Walking away from it after like 8 or 9 months feels stupid. If we put 5 years into a game, why shouldn't we get 5 years out of the game, kind of a thing? And maybe I'm speaking out of turn for developers, but that's where I sit. If I was a developer, if I poured 5 years into building some big, giant, massive world, I'd feel a certain kind of way about being like, no, that's it. Linear story. Have a ball. Cool. Thanks for the $60. That's it. That's all we got. When we're going to leave it, we're going to get started on, we're going to spend another 5 years working on another game that you'll beat in a week or 2 weeks time and then put down, you know? Open world Sonic as a concept is super dope, but the world does seem really empty. And if it's just a race, challenges and coin collecting, why? Yeah, you need to feel I think when you do open world like this, I think you need a more serious tone to your game rather than just this like arcadish run around and collect stuff kind of a thing. I don't know. I go back and play those old games like run around this little set. There's coins, there's some mushrooms, there's some shiny stars, and you got to get them all. And you like run around the set piece and get them all. And then you're like, yeah, and you go to the next level. I don't know if that vibe works in just a big, giant open world. The scope and the size, you know, needs, like, look at the scope and the size here. there's a severity, there's a seriousness, I think. There's this undercurrent of, this can't be frivolous, throwaway goofball. There needs to be something here. There needs to be something tangible. And I totally understand why people are looking at this Sonic game and being like, feels generic, man. It just doesn't feel like there's much here, you know? And I have to agree. I'm gonna go back to the thing that I say all the time, you know? I'm a man of simple tastes. It's like, you give me some big fun game to run around and do fun stuff in, you know, I'm gonna play it for an afternoon or a weekend. Now, that'll be the end of it for me. But I'm not gonna be super critical of a Sonic game. I'm not gonna be super critical of a Sonic game that is even somewhat generic, you know? If it's, you know, as long as it's delivering a fun experience, then I'm good to go. At least for a weekend, at least for a couple of play sessions. We have a really great video I'm going to send you guys to at the end of this video. Not right now, but in a while. Destroy All Humans released a really cool little co-op game. They just did, like $15, you know. And it looks really, really cool. You think that breadth is why it feels so generic? More time was put into size rather than the detail? I think a pretty acceptable axiom to say is to say, the larger and bigger and more open your world is, the more challenging it's going to be to develop an identity for that world. Because if you're just going to develop some big world with trees, rocks, mountains, and hillsides, okay, we've all played plenty of games with trees, rocks, mountains, and hillsides. What else you got? You know? What else do you got? You know what I mean? You have to dot the land with something that creates a feel and a vibe. I think it's challenging. I think the larger the world, it's so much more easy. It's just super, super easier. Okay. It's super, super easier. It's real easy to dilute your sense of identity, scope, and feel when you do that. Now, some of that comes down to art style. Because you guys remember Pathfinder? You remember Pathfinder? That game had its own art style. Breath of the Wild has its own art style. I think one of the challenges for that Sonic game is they just grabbed a bunch of generic, somewhat photorealistic world items, you know, trees and grass, rocks, and some hillsides, and that's it. You know, that's why it looks like somebody just made that as for like a, you know, an Unreal 5 testing ground to be like, yeah, let's make a little Sonic game, like those Spider-Man games and those Superman games that you may have seen with the Unreal 5, you know, testing engines and stuff. That, I think, is why it feels that way. It's like, well, anybody could have built this. There doesn't seem to be much to it. The thing is, Sonic fans feel screwed because they've gotten crap Sonic games for almost 15 or so years. They're just kind of tired of holding out hope. If it's supposed to release soon, there probably won't be anything different, says Smashville. Elden filled that world. Yeah, like, Elden Ring, though, here's the thing, Butters. Elden Ring did two things. It maintained the art style of Dark Souls, but it also clearly set an identity stage. You got these giant glowing trees in the background. The world is dotted with just destroyed, dilapidated structures. And then the enemies themselves, like a big giant troll, and then the tree sentinel. Do you see what I'm saying? It did more than just like, oh yeah, it filled the world with stuff. It used its own art style. It gave a very, very clear aesthetic from the distance and the light, you know, the trees looking like they're made of light. And then you had the enemies, and then you had like something happened here. And the challenge with that Sonic game is, okay, cool, you made a big open world and there's rails and there's bumpers and there's jump pads, but that doesn't necessarily mean it feels like a world that Sonic would be in. You know, if they had done the same thing with Ratchet and Clank, people would have been like, that doesn't really look like a Ratchet and Clank game. You just threw Ratchet into a big, grassy, somewhat photorealistic open landscape. What'd they do with Ratchet? there was a clear aesthetic and design of the ships and the rails and the characters and the buildings. Like the buildings, when you're in like the city, it just feels cool. Even when you're in the open areas, there is a clear art style, and I think art style is the real ticket. They could take that world that we just looked at, redo it with an art style, and it would immediately look way better if they changed the art style. If that game would have been more cel-shaded looking, more cartoonish looking, almost like a living comic book, I think we'd be a little less like, it looked like a Sonic game. We'd be like, oh man, the art style's dope. Feels really unique. Feels like a Sonic, you know, Saturday morning cartoon, you know, kind of come to life. Sadly, they didn't do that, you know? Yeah, I appreciate that, Deadly Dad Gaming. I do. Never played a Sonic game, was a Nintendo kid back in those days. The difference is Halo fell off in the past 10 or so years. Sonic fans have been waiting for a good Sonic game since, like, Sonic Adventure 2, says Wheezy. Elden Ring was both loved and hated. People gave it a 1 or a 10. Yes, hyperbolic. This Sonic seems like most will land around average. No excitement or sparks. Imagine a game with the art style of Sonic Mania, but 3D. Right, that's why I think they should have tried to... They should have tried to contextualize the art style of old Sonic games. I think that would have been a really good decision. Is that the entire game or is it Zone 1? Oh, I'm assuming it's just a teaser of like the opening area or something, Techno. Yeah, they didn't say, but I don't know. It's called Frontiers, plural, is it not? I think it's plural, isn't it? Yeah, Frontiers. I don't think you would call it Frontiers, plural, and be like, yeah, that's it. Just that the area, you know, I don't necessarily think that's the case. The name in my mind indicates there's going to be a lot of different biomes, a lot of different areas, and a lot of different feels for the game. Is the game trying to capitalize off the movie success? You tell me, Eugene. Let me show you something. Let me show you a little something. So when I go to IGN's trailer, right above me, watch on YouTube, Sonic the Hedgehog, buy or rent. I don't know. They're trying to get that, you know, it's number 3 on trending. It's number 3 on trending. There's a Sonic the Hedgehog channel. And if I go to the Sonic the Hedgehog channel, funny enough, this is the video on the Sonic the Hedgehog channel, their official channel, 1.5 million subscribers, Sonic the Hedgehog channel, IGN First. They don't have that movie rental thing. So I don't know. That could totally be a thing that IGN did. It could be a thing that YouTube does automatically. I don't know. It could be the starting area, Green Hill Zone, like every Sonic game. Sure, Techno. I think the art style is just, it just, you know, feels generic. It's the movie all over again. 42 upvotes, 11,000 downvotes. Yeah. I think it'll be multiple open world zone, hence Frontiers plural. Yeah. I think so too. Didn't the Sonic movie have similar complaints about the movie, the art style of Sonic, and then people... Yeah. Yeah, and then they went back and redid it all. Yeah. And the Chip and Dale movie put Ugly Sonic in the one and only Ugly Sonic. They put him in their movie. It was so awkward. It was like when they did the realistic Ninja Turtles and somebody took like Photoshop in 5 seconds and they contextualized what a Ninja Turtle should look like. And it was like night and day, you know, night and day difference. It's funny that they, if you think about it, with the Ninja Turtles or with Sonic, You would think it would be easy. You have the template. You have the template for doing it right. You know, Is this real? Did they banned her on purple? Post real streamer bans or I unfollow. That's gotta be fake. They're claiming that's not real. The streamer bans is claiming that she was banned from purple. I don't think she was. I think it's a joke. The background made that movie. Yeah. Did it seem to you like Super Mario Odyssey with a Sonic skin? Got a bail. Congrats on the sub explosion. As far as Sonic, I think that this is an evolution of Sonic Adventure. Folks need to do some homework. Thanks, Suede. Appreciate you, man. I didn't feel like it felt like a Super Mario Odyssey with a Sonic skin. No. I didn't feel like it felt like that. I don't want to spend too much time on Sonic. Let's move on to Fable 4. This one is, you know, obviously got some people concerned. Fable 4 senior producer clarifies claims of downscaling and technical difficulties. So it became, we're pulling this from Games Radar, by the way. Thank you, Games Radar. It became known that they were downscaling and having technical difficulties. They were managing the scoping of the game. Fable 4 coming out. Yeah, I guess they did that as a joke. Oh, they did Has Lost. Oh, I thought it said it was banned. I was like, oh my gosh. They're being funny. So Fable 4 is using the Forza engine, which is pretty exciting, but it became known that they were struggling with things. So one of Fable's senior producers has clarified a facet of the game's ongoing development following a claim that Fable 4 had been scaled down due to technical difficulties. Can I pause that? It's so annoying. Earlier this week, a host on the XNC podcast claimed they had received information about Fable 4's development, alleging that the upcoming game had been scaled down as the team was having trouble with the engine, and that while they tried to build the game on Forza tech, quote, the gameplay mechanics were eluding them and they couldn't fit them in the engine. Now, a senior producer on Fable 4 has taken to Twitter to clear up that scoping is a, quote, normal, necessary, and healthy part of game development, which they guarantee is something any AAA game goes through as part of natural development. So let's take a look at the tweet, because it's a thread from Mrs. Spuddles, Amy here clarifying things for us. I wanted to clear something up about scoping. It is a normal, necessary, and healthy part of game development. I can guarantee that every single AAA game you've ever played will have gone through scoping regularly during development. Its intention is to make sure the team are focused under one clear vision and can get it made in the time that they have without killing themselves. Games that haven't been scoped correctly often have delays and crunch, both we should be aiming to avoid whenever possible. I think this is good insight, right? I think this is good insight into the fact that, like, this is normal and we're doing this at a point where it needs to happen. Crunch and delay occurs when games haven't been scoped correctly, Amy Loke goes on to add via a follow-up tweet. As developers managing an ongoing project want to avoid this wherever possible, scoping is intended to bring focus to the game and streamline the entire project so developers aren't working on a ballooning project. Games Radar has contacted Xbox and Playground Games for added comment and will update this piece with any new information. Loke has an extensive history with the Fable series at large. Although the producer is now working at Playground Games on the new adventure, Loke spent over 2 years I think this is a typo. Although the producer is not working at the Playground Games on the new adventure, Loke spent over 2 years working on various Fable projects at original developer Lionhead. Oh, I get what it's saying. She's now at Playground, working on both Fable Legends and Fable Anniversary in different roles. After a break at Sumo Digital working on Crackdown 3 and other projects, the industry veteran has returned to the much-beloved series. Okay, so she is working on it. As for Fable 4, though, we'll have to wait and see. for more from Playground Games Reboot. The game first surfaced back in July 2020 with a brief cinematic teaser trailer, and we've seen naught from the project since then, with Xbox due to hold their traditional E3 showcase later this month on July 12th. Fable 4 could resurface with new details. I'm going to tell you what this is. I feel like this is just such an easy read. They are trying to build Fable with the Forza engine, and they ran into problems, right? Now, it is concerning that the original report indicated that the gameplay mechanics were eluding them, and they, quote, couldn't fit them in the engine. That's obviously a little concerning to be like, okay, well, what does that mean? But at some level, I do think you have to ask that question and say, well, are they taking a big stride here and a big risk and taking the Forza engine and saying, well, we're going to build Fable in the Forza engine? I was looking at it from the engine sucks for the gameplay. It might not suck for the gameplay because they built Anthem from the ground up in an engine that didn't have any of the mechanics that was needed for it, and the flying and combat in Anthem actually felt very good. They may just be having to build certain elements from the ground up. It's not easy figuring out how to bolt a turbo to a horse. Right. It's like they're, I don't know. We got really excited when we heard this because we thought, man, Forza Tech and the Forza engine, those games just look so amazing, right? Collect the rest of the members chat. Lono in QA, the quickest way to improve quality is to cut buggy features. They're scoping to get the remaining stuff good. Guys, apparently YouTube Lurker, all of his gifted members have not been claimed yet. Click at the top of the chat and allow yourself to be gifted and claim the remaining gifted members. We are trying to get to 200 members here to unlock the weekly Madam segment, and we're at like 120-something. So, Anthem had so much potential. Right. Yeah, I don't have any problems with this. My only concern would be if they can't get to proof of concept. If they can't get to the point where they're like, no, this engine's gonna work. We've got it figured out. Combat, movement, RPG, open world, whatever it is that they're building. They need to get to the point where they can prove the concept and be like, oh yeah, this engine will work. This engine's gonna get it done. That's what I'm worried about. Because at what point are they gonna have to say, man, we gotta cut bait on this. This isn't gonna work. This is not going to work. How do you collect a gifted membership on desktop? You should be able to click that green logo at the top of the chat and just click allow gifts. Yeah, just click it and then click allow gifts. I'm not going to click it on my alt, but they're still there according to... I'm logged in on my alt. I already smell something morbed. TK Lotus is cool. So she responds to something and doesn't actually address the crux of it. I find it odd the original leak she responds to isn't about scope, it's about gameplay issues. Is Microsoft forcing an engine choice? Yeah, I don't know. Are the gifts claimable or random? Once you say allow gifts, it should give you some if you've been here enough. So if you've clicked allow gifts and you've not got... I clicked allow a while ago. Haven't been given the membership. Strange. That is strange, BMAC. That is strange. I could probably try and jumpstart it with one. Usually if somebody gifts one, that can jumpstart it. Don't see a claim or accept button. If you do, it'll put a big gray box. It'll put a big gray box in the chat when I do one. All right, so if I do one, I can't do one membership. I have to do... How are you guys doing one? I can do 5, 10, or 20. I can't do a single membership. It's not letting me. I love Fable 1 and 2 and 3 were kind of disappointing, though. Me too. I clicked like 5 minutes ago. They have definitely been claimed. Yeah, I think they got claimed, YouTube lurker. I don't think any of these people would be not getting it. So now you can gift Nightbot memberships on channels they need, right? No, we can't. The way they built it, we can't gift it to Nightbot because Nightbot can't claim it. Do you know what I'm saying? I can't click on Nightbot and be like, here's a membership. Now that could come soon, like gifting to an individual, but yeah, because we'd love to give one to Nightbot because then Nightbot could show up for the members only streams. But Nightbot can't. We could try and set... I wonder if we set the chat to not be members only on a members only stream, if it would let Nightbot in and he could talk, but he, you know, you just can't see the stream. I wonder if that would work. What's the mentality behind claiming the membership versus just giving it to people? I think they're trying to avoid some of the fraud and some of the pitfalls of the Purple Platform, because the Purple Platform has had people, you know, basically faking out their audiences with gifted memberships and not being honest, and they're probably trying to avoid that. They want it to be something that's claimed by actual viewers, and that's why people kept getting, over on that platform, people were getting gifted memberships to channels that like they never watched, and the reason for that was very simple. they were gifting so many members that they didn't have any more actual real loyal viewers. They just had bots watching them. You know what I mean? Do you know what I'm saying? Because like, if you have thousands of people watching your stream and you're getting all these gifted subs, why are those not going to loyal viewers? If you have that big of an audience, why aren't they going to loyal viewers? People kept getting random gifts. They'd be like, I don't even watch that channel and I got gifted memberships. Yeah, because they're gifting so many that it's exceeding what actual loyal real viewers are in the chat, because it's constantly bots and the bots are constantly recycled, which means there's no real viewers in chat to gift the memberships, the subs to. That's why that happens on that platform, just so you know. If you get gifted a membership to some channel that you never really watch, it's because they're exceeding the organic viewership in their audience. So it's definitely a problem over there. You know, Techno Tyrant joined over here. There it is. As a member over here, you can be part of those Madam streams. We do call-ins at the very end of the episode, and they're brief. It's not a conversation. You can call in with like a single question or hot take. It's not meant to be long-winded like we used to do. There were people that we used to have almost like a podcast with because they'd call in and we would talk for so long. That's not what we're going for on this channel. You can call in at the end of an episode and you can give a brief question or remark that I'll interact with that mainly is focused on getting you in those Madam streams on Monday. So thank you, Techno, and welcome. So let's go with this last one. I'm throwing this one in at the end. I'm going to throw this one at the end because this is a continued dialogue that we have been having. We need to figure out how to get Aunt F to take one of the gifts. He's not going to do it. So we're bringing this one to you from VGC. Take-Two's CEO says having games on a subscription service on day one doesn't make sense. So Strauss Zelnick coming in again with a take on the subscriptions out there that are not seeing it being worthy. The PlayStation Store of Final Fantasy has been updated one day before State of Play. Oh boy. Final Fantasy is about to give people a big surprise. Big surprise. Why is it doing that? It's doing that because if you delete everything after the question mark, it should work. I can't edit your message. Edit your message and get rid of everything question mark and down. Like 76 should be the last portion of that message and it should fix it. Sometimes all that extra crap messes with embed. All right, let's read this article here. So Strauss-Zelnick is talking about something that we've been talking about quite a bit in the realm of the subscription services. There you go. Take-Two Interactive CEO Strauss-Zelnick has said he doesn't think it makes economic sense for the company's games to be available on subscription services on their day of their release. In a new video interview with GameIndustry.biz, Zelnick pointed out that while Take-Two's games do appear on subscription services, he doesn't believe adding them on day one is the best practice. DTOM gifted a membership. Somebody snag it quick. We've supported various subscription services and we're happy to do so, Zelnick said. Our skepticism has been around making frontline console products available day and date with subscription. This doesn't make any sense to us because economically speaking, we don't think consumers are prepared to pay for that. Why would they? And we can't afford to turn our business upside down in a way that doesn't make sense economically. Blowing holes in the idea that Sony is eventually going to go day and date or needs to go day and date. We have another pretty big industry leader saying, yeah, no. Wait, when did this happen? When did the Outer Worlds trailer hit for Outer Worlds 2? Is it just a teaser? Oh, I think we watched. Yeah. We watched this. This is actually pretty old. I forgot. It's not that it's generic. It just doesn't really show anything. So there always has to be an intersection between what the consumer wants and what the publisher is able to do. And it doesn't make sense to do that for frontline properties, in our opinion. I think Sony minimally agrees with us because they've said so. Oh. There you go. It can be potentially great for catalog properties. Those are properties that have been in the market for a while. If their price has been reduced, it can make economic sense to offer those on a subscription basis. However, Zelnick stressed that it may not always be the company's stance, and it may change depending on how the subscription landscape changes in the future. This company does not operate based on one person's opinions, including mine, and when it makes sense, we'll support subscription services, and if that's where the consumer wants to be, that's where we'll be. It's one of the terrifying things about working in video games there that we're such on the cutting edge of everything that any prediction will inevitably make someone look foolish. Yeah, the predictions will make people look foolish because I don't know if those realities are going to change. I just don't think so. There's so much money to be made during launch month. Zelnick has expressed his skepticism on subscription services in the past, especially the practice of adding games on their date of release. In 2019, Obsidian's The Outer Worlds, which was published by Take-Two, was added to Xbox Game Pass on day one, after which Zelnick said it was hard to say if the move had helped or hurt the game's success. I think what we've said all along is that, generally speaking, we want to be where the consumer is, he said at that time. Generally speaking, we think subscription offerings, to the extent they exist, are probably better suited to catalog, but we're willing to take experimental chances when it makes sense for a particular title and when the deal underlying that option also makes sense for us. So he's not saying we're never going to do this broad strokes, but he's definitely saying, listen, We don't think this is a good idea all the time for day and date releases. It just is not a smart move at all. And you got to take that into consideration. You really, really do when you're looking at the landscape of gaming right now. You do. You have to take that in consideration. You have to say, okay, what exactly is going on with these subscription services? What exactly are they offering? Because so many companies are doing it. And they're all doing it very, very different. So the idea that you must do it, you have to, is I don't see evidence for that. I don't. I see evidence in the contrary pretty consistently that, they need to do this. So for the final portion of the show, before I send you over to a great new first look, Destroy All Humans Clone Carnage released literally yesterday. If you want to take a look at it, I got a quick 10 minutes. It's a 4-player co-op game. There's local split screen. I'm going to send you guys over there in a moment. Is there anybody trying to do a call-in today with a thought or a question? Keep in mind, call-ins are very different than they used to be. We do them at the tail end. I know not everybody's fond of them, but they are the option for you to give a brief comment or question about things we've covered today, or maybe some stories we might have missed. I'll do one quick call for that, and then we will we'll convene and we'll send you guys over to this new first look. That is something. Where is that sound coming from? It must be over here. Yep, over here. I was like, what is going on? I got two phones on the desk. What's the point of calling in just overriding in chat? It's just a feature that people can take advantage of if they want. You know, it's not necessary. We just like to give people that option if they'd like. You know, it's something some people do. It's something some shows like to do. It gives it almost like a call-in radio show feel. What he's trying to say is if their IP is a little bit unknown, but they're confident that the little exposure people may, they'll do the deal up front for their IP on a sub. Oh, they may put it in, but it'll compensate them. Right. I watch this other guy who does call-ins, but he gets trolled so hard. Yeah, because if you let anybody call in, that's why we make it a member perk, you know. Michael does life. Yeah. He's a character, so I wouldn't expect that to be... That's not that surprising. That's not that surprising. he's a bit of a character, and he's kind of dealing in being a character to a certain extent. You know? He's a bit of a character. Yes, him? Yeah. Well, I'm going to put a link in chat. Just in case redirect doesn't work, okay? It should send you over to this. We always love to give our first look some love at the end of the day. Destroy All Humans Clone Carnage went live yesterday to promote Destroy All Humans 2 Reprobed, which they're remaking that game, and that one's launching end of the summer. So you can enjoy my first 10 minutes of Destroy All Humans Clone Carnage gameplay. We will also be putting up a first look at the Diablo Immortal first dungeon that I checked out today. More great coverage and topics tomorrow on Reforged Gaming. More Diablo Immortal. Then there's a members AMA tomorrow on gaming, which should be a blast because the members gifting. We got a ton of new members over there. So make sure you're subscribed to gaming. We'll see you back over here for Reforged Radio as well in the afternoon. Have a great rest of your night. Enjoy the footage, the new gameplay footage over there on First Look of Destroy All Humans, Clone Carnage. All right? And I'll read this last thing from Techno. My hot take is realism is boring past a certain extent. Artistic and stylized games are more interesting and enjoyable. I actually think art style is going to be the big differentiation between games going forward because photorealism will become slightly played out. Great hot take to end on. Enjoy the footage of Destroy All Humans, Clone Carnage. We'll see you guys tomorrow.